All right, so get ready because today
Ready?
we are diving deep into the mind of George Berkeley
Yeah.
and his treatise concerning the principles of human knowledge.
That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
Yeah.
Get ready for
Buckle up.
buckle up for a wild ride
Yeah.
through 18th century
I
idealism.
mean, this philosopher,
Yeah.
he was way ahead of his time.
Really way ahead of his
Yeah.
time. I mean, his central argument that to be is to be perceived
Right.
still has the power to kind of turn our understanding of the world upside
It
down.
does.
It really
It
does.
makes you question,
Yeah.
like, everything. Like,
Everything.
what even is real?
Right.
What if reality isn't what you think it is?
That's kind of
Yeah.
what he's getting at.
Totally.
One of the first things that grabbed me was how Berkeley tackles abstract ideas.
Okay.
You know, he uses this example of a triangle.
Oh, yeah.
And like, how can we even picture a triangle that isn't some kind of triangle?
Right.
Right. You know? Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah,
It's a
day.
brilliant way to challenge our assumptions.
It is.
You know, like, can you imagine a triangle?
I can't.
Okay.
Like, how can you even picture a triangle that's like
Yeah.
simultaneously every type of triangle,
Yeah.
right angled, obtuse, scalene?
Yeah.
All at once. It
It doesn't work.
doesn't work.
It doesn't
It's
work.
got to be something.
It's got to be a specific something. Like,
Yeah.
every triangle I try to picture in my head has to be like a specific something.
Yeah. And that's kind
And it
of,
makes me wonder, like,
yeah.
what other
What
concept?
else are we just kind of
What else are we clinging to?
taking for granted?
Yeah, taking for granted.
That might actually not
Yeah, it might just be
be
illusions.
real.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something he
So
really wants us to think about.
he wants us to grapple with.
Yeah, and he's saying we need to be careful about mistaking our mental constructs for the real thing.
Our mental constructs for the real
Yeah.
deal. Yeah.
So no fuzzy concepts allowed.
Basically,
I mean,
everything has to be
everything has to be rooted in
rooted in
a lived
experience
actual
in
experience.
the real world. Yeah.
So that brings us to
Okay.
kind of the heart of Berkeley's philosophy,
All right.
this famous phrase, esse es percipi,
Oh, yeah. I love this one.
which means to be is to be perceived. I
Yeah.
gotta be honest, that one took me a minute to wrap my head around.
It's a bit of a,
I had to sit with it for a minute.
it's a mind bender.
It is a mind bender.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
What does that even mean?
So what are you saying? Like,
So basically, what
I
we're
need.
saying is for something to exist,
Okay.
it has to be perceived
Okay.
by some mind.
By some mind,
Yeah.
so
Okay.
not necessarily yours.
So are you telling me, like, if
No.
a tree falls in the forest,
Again, no one's around.
the classic example,
Does it even make a sound?
does it even make a sound?
Does it even exist?
So Berkeley wouldn't say the tree completely vanishes.
Okay.
He's saying that the tree's existence, as we understand it,
Okay.
depends on it being perceived
Okay.
by some mind.
Okay. I can see where he's coming from, but
Yeah.
it's still a wild thought. Like,
Yeah.
if
Yeah.
I'm not looking at the tree and you're not looking at the tree
Right.
and nobody's looking at the
And
tree,
no squirrels are looking at the
yeah,
tree.
and no squirrel, no birds.
No birds.
Like, who's doing all this perceiving when we're not around?
All right.
What's perceiving?
Does this mean that everything only exists in my mind?
Well, not necessarily only yours.
Okay.
Berkeley proposed that God,
Okay.
as the ultimate perceiver,
Okay.
is constantly perceiving everything,
Okay.
ensuring the world's stability and continuity.
So God's kind of like the
Yeah.
cosmic observer, making sure the universe keeping things running.
Keeps ticking along,
Yeah.
even when we're not looking.
Even when we're asleep.
Yeah, even when we're not.
Yeah.
Okay,
It's a wild thought.
I'm starting to see how this all fits together. It's
Yeah.
very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just about God
Right.
keeping things in existence.
It's not just about that.
Berkeley also uses this idea
Yeah.
to explain the order and regularity of nature. Like
Exact.
the consistent laws of physics,
Right.
the way things behave in predictable ways. It's all a reflection of God's mind, he argues.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Okay.
The order that we see,
That makes sense.
the regularity comes from God's mind,
Yeah.
not from matter.
Okay, but this whole like
Yeah.
to be is to be perceived thing,
Yeah.
it really shakes up
It's a big deal.
how we think about the world. If it's all about perception,
Okay.
where does that leave what we think of as like
Like the physical world?
the physical world? Yeah.
Yeah.
What about matter?
Yeah, what about matter?
Like, what is stuff?
Right. What is stuff?
You know, where does that leave stuff?
That's where Berkeley gets even more radical.
Okay.
He takes on the concept of matter.
Okay.
As we traditionally understand it.
As in, like, this inert, unthinking substance that exists independently of any mind.
Of any mind,
yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the classic building blocks of the universe.
Yeah, like atoms and all that.
And quarks and
right, yeah.
All that good stuff.
All the little things that we can't even see.
Exactly.
But Berkeley argues if matter is something that we can never directly perceive,
right,
how can it possibly be
the
cause of our perceptions?
That's the question, isn't it?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
If we only know the world through our senses, and those senses are just giving us perceptions, how do we know that there's this whole other thing out there causing those perceptions?
How do we know?
You know what I mean?
That's what he's asking us. It's like, how to consider.
Even know.
Yeah.
He's suggesting that maybe what we call matter is actually just a collection of perceptions.
Right.
A kind of mental construct.
Like a mental model.
Yeah.
That we've built.
And that challenges a lot of our basic assumptions about the world, doesn't it?
It really does.
It really does. Yeah. It's like he's turning the whole idea of reality inside out.
It's inside out and upside down.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's a wild ride.
It is.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we're not bumping around in a world made of stuff, you know, what's the point of science?
Right.
Does Berkeley just think we should, like, chuck our microscopes and telescopes?
He doesn't.
Okay.
Not at all. Oh, he actually reframed the goal of science in a really intriguing way.
In a very different way.
Yeah. Instead of thinking of it as dissecting matter, uncovering its secrets, Berkeley saw science as the study of the language of nature.
The language of nature.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So think of it like this.
Okay.
Okay, imagine you're walking through a garden.
Okay.
And you see a rose.
Okay, beautiful rose.
Right, you notice.
Yeah.
Its color, its shape, its scent.
Yeah.
For Berkeley.
Yeah.
These qualities aren't inherent to the rose itself.
Okay.
But are like signs or signals.
Okay.
A way that God is communicating with us through our senses.
So it's like God is speaking to us through the beauty of a rose.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or think about the way fire causes pain.
Mm-hmm.
For Berkeley, fire isn't the ultimate cause of that pain.
Okay.
It's more like God is using this sensation of heat and pain as a sign to warn us of danger.
Okay.
Right.
I think I'm starting to get it. So instead of focusing on the material causes things, science becomes about understanding the meaning and purpose.
The meaning and purpose.
Behind the patterns we observe in nature.
Exactly.
You got it.
You got it.
Berkeley believed that the more we study, these patterns, the more we uncover,
the
wisdom and ingenuity of God's design.
Of God's design.
That's such a different way.
It's pretty wild.
Of looking at the world. It makes the study of nature seem almost like a spiritual practice.
Spiritual practice, yeah.
It real.
It is. It really is. It really is. And it brings us to another big question.
Okay.
If we can't even perceive matter,
right?
Can we perceive our own minds?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a mind-bending question.
That's a tough one.
Like, can we look inward and perceive our own minds?
Right. It's like trying to see your own reflection without a mirror.
Exactly.
You can't do it.
You just can't do it.
You can't do it.
And Berkeley argues that we can't have an idea of our mind or spirit.
Okay.
In the same way we have ideas of things we experience with our senses.
That senses,
He says a spirit is active.
Okay.
While an idea is passive.
So trying to picture your mind is like trying to hear a color.
It just doesn't compute.
Doesn't compute.
So how do we know our own minds then?
Right.
If we can't see them or touch them?
Yeah, how do we know?
Or even form a picture of them in our minds?
Well, Berkeley says we know our minds through direct experience.
Through direct experience.
We feel emotions.
Okay.
We make decisions. We have thoughts. Yeah. We're aware of these mental activities.
Okay.
Even if we can't grasp them as ideas.
Yeah.
In the same way we grasp the idea of a tree or a table.
It's like we have an inner sense.
Yeah. That tells us our mind is there.
It's like an inner feeling.
Even if we can't pin it down.
You got it.
With our outer senses.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay, and this leads us to perhaps the biggest question of all.
Right.
Can we perceive God?
Okay.
in Berkeley's framework?
In Berkeley's world,
That's the million-dollar question, right?
that's the big one.
If
The
everything
ultimate question.
is ultimately being perceived by God,
Yeah, can we also
can we turn that around?
turn our perception toward God?
Can we perceive with the perceiver?
Right. So
Yeah.
how do we see God then?
So according to Berkeley, yes,
Okay.
but not in a literal,
Not like the man with the beard up in the clouds.
not a literal see God sitting on a cloud kind of way.
Okay.
No.
All right. So how do we see God then?
So think about it like this.
Okay.
We don't see another person's mind directly,
Okay.
but we infer its existence from their actions, their
Yeah.
words,
Yeah.
their expressions.
Similarly, Berkeley argues
Yeah.
that we can see God's presence
Okay.
in the design and order of the universe.
So we see the effects of God's mind
The effects of God's mind
all around us,
everywhere,
where we look.
the intricate complexity of nature,
The
the
complexity.
way everything seems to fit together
What?
so perfectly.
It all works.
That's how we know God is there.
That's how we know God is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful way to think
Hey,
about it.
it's a beautiful thought.
Like every sunset,
Every sunset,
every snowflake,
every snowflake,
every blade of grass
every little detail.
becomes a testament
Yeah.
to God's creativity.
It's all God.
Wow.
It's a perspective that fills the world
It really does.
with awe and
Yeah.
wonder.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it also leads us to
Yeah.
important ethical considerations.
Oh, interesting how so.
So, well, remember,
Yeah.
for Berkeley, the only things that exist
Okay.
are minds
Okay.
and the ideas they perceive.
And he warns us
Okay.
against the danger of idolatry,
Idolatry.
of mistaking our own
Yeah.
ideas
Okay.
for the real thing.
For the real thing. So we start worshiping our
Right.
own mental construct
Yeah, our own little mental models.
instead of acknowledging God
Instead of looking to the ultimate source.
as the ultimate source
Yeah,
of
but in
realities.
reality.
Exactly. It's like we become fixated
Right, we get caught up.
on shadows, on a cave wall,
Yeah, we're looking at the shadow.
instead of turning toward the light.
We got to turn towards the light.
And we might become obsessed with money, power, fame,
Yeah.
things that are ultimately
The fleeting things.
just fleeting ideas,
Yeah.
and forget about what truly
Yeah,
matters.
forget about what really matters.
It's a good reminder
Yeah.
that there's a deeper reality
There's something more
beyond our immediate perceptions.
beyond what we can see and touch.
But how do we avoid
Right.
falling into that trap?
How do we stay on the right
How
path?
do we make sure
Yeah.
we're not just
We say, how do
worshiping
we avoid idolatry?
our own mental projections?
Berkeley would say
Okay.
it's about humility,
Humility. Okay.
about remembering that we're not the
Wow.
center of the universe.
We're not the center of
It's
everything.
about recognizing our dependence
Okay.
on a higher power,
On something bigger than ourselves.
a power that transcends
Right.
our limited human understanding.
So it's not just
Yeah.
about heady philosophical
It's
concepts.
not just an intellectual exercise.
It's about how we live our lives,
It's about how we live,
how we relate to the world around
how
us.
we act, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what makes
Yeah.
Berkeley's philosophy so relevant,
Still today.
even today.
Even today.
Yeah.
It's a call to wake up
It's a wake-up call
from our self-centered slumber
to stop being so self-centered.
and to see the world
Yeah.
with fresh eyes,
With new eyes.
eyes that recognize the
Yeah.
divine
It's the
presence
divine
in
presence.
everything we experience.
It's exactly.
That's a pretty amazing way
It
to view
is.
the world, wouldn't you say?
It's a beautiful way to see the world.
It really is. You know, it makes you wonder
Yeah.
if we're all just characters
Right.
in some grand cosmic play
Yeah.
with God as the playwright.
The ultimate playwright.
Yeah, and if everything exists in God's mind,
Okay.
what does that mean
Yeah.
for our own free will?
What about free will?
Are we just puppets on strings?
That's a question that
Yeah.
philosophers have been wrestling with
Yeah.
for
For a
centuries.
very long time.
And Berkeley doesn't shy away from it.
Okay.
He really tries to emphasize
Okay.
that we're not just mindless automatons.
Right.
Like we have thoughts and feelings.
We have
We
desires,
make choices.
right?
We're not just passive
We're
observers.
active participants
Yeah, in this world,
in this
we're
world.
not just along for the ride.
Right. But if God is
Yeah.
ultimately the one
Yeah.
perceiving and sustaining everything,
Right.
how can our choices be truly free?
So how can we have free will?
It seems like everything would have to be
Yeah, it seems like
part of God's plan.
it's got to all
Right.
part of the plan.
Yeah.
That's the
It
paradox.
is a paradox.
Right, but Berkeley
Yeah.
suggests that our freedom lies
okay.
in our ability to choose between different paths,
Okay.
even if those choices
Yeah.
are ultimately.
Ultimately part of a larger tapestry.
Yeah, part of a bigger picture.
That God is weaving.
That God is creating.
It's beautiful imagery.
It is a beautiful way to think about it.
Like, think of it like
yeah.
a river flowing toward the ocean.
Okay.
The water is guided
uh-huh.
by the contours of the land.
Right, the riverbanks.
Yeah, but within that flow,
yeah.
there's an infinite number of currents and eddies.
Right.
You know, and our choices are kind of like those currents.
Like those little currents.
We have the power to navigate.
We can steer a little.
Within the grand scheme of things.
Within the bigger picture.
Okay, so we're free to choose.
Yeah.
But God already knows.
But God knows where it's all going.
What we're going to choose.
Right.
It's a bit of a brain twister.
It is a mind bender.
It is.
But it gets to the heart.
Yeah.
The mystery of free will.
Of our relationship with the divine.
Yeah. How do we fit in?
Yeah. Where do we fit in?
To God's plan.
Yeah.
But for Berkeley.
Yeah.
It all comes back.
Okay.
To the goodness and wisdom of God.
Okay.
You know, he believed that God created us.
Okay.
With the capacity for free will.
Yeah.
And that he allows us.
Okay.
To exercise that freedom.
Even if he sees the bigger picture.
Even though he knows how it ends.
Right.
Like a parent.
Okay, yeah.
Teaching their child to ride a bike.
Okay.
They know the child might fall.
Yeah, they might scrape their knee.
Scrape their knee. But they also know the joy.
And freedom.
The freedom the child will experience.
Yeah.
When they finally master it.
When they finally get it. And that highlights something important.
Okay.
About Berkeley's philosophy.
What's that?
It's ultimately a very optimistic view of reality.
Optimistic.
Yeah. I mean,
think that's so.
Isn't it kind of a bleak thought
mm-hmm.
that everything we experience might just be an idea
okay.
in someone else's mind?
Think about it this way.
Okay.
If the world is just a bunch of cold, dead matter.
Okay.
Then our lives are ultimately meaningless.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But if the world is an expression of God's mind.
Yeah.
As Berkeley suggests.
Uh-huh.
Then everything is infused.
Yeah.
With purpose and significance.
With meaning.
Yeah. Every experience, every encounter, every moment.
So becomes part of a.
Becomes part of a larger.
A larger divine story.
A divine story, yeah.
What you're saying that.
Yeah.
Even our struggles.
Even our struggles.
Our doubts.
Our doubts.
Are all part of something.
Are part of something bigger.
Bigger than ourselves.
Than ourselves, yeah.
It doesn't mean life is easy or pain-free.
It doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
But it does suggest.
But it suggests that there's meaning.
There's meaning to be found.
Even in the midst of suffering.
Even in the midst of suffering. And that's.
That's huge.
It's a powerful thought.
It's a powerful thought.
Especially in a world.
It often feels chaotic and random.
In a world that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It is. It makes you want to like pay attention.
Yeah.
To the world around you. To really appreciate
to
it.
To really see it.
The beauty and wonder.
The wonder of it all.
Of it all. And it ties back.
And it ties back.
To that question.
Yeah.
We posed earlier.
Right.
About our responsibility.
About responsibility.
To each other.
To each other.
And to the world around us.
And to the world if we're all connected.
Right.
In God's mind.
Yeah.
As Berkeley suggests.
Then our actions have a ripple effect.
Yeah. Our actions matter. They impact.
They impact everything.
Not just ourselves.
Not just us.
But the entire web of being.
The whole web of existence.
So it's like we're all
connected.
Part of one big family.
We're all family.
Even if we don't.
Even if we don't always act like
it. Always see it that way.
Yeah.
And that realization.
That's powerful.
Be a powerful motivator.
Yeah.
For compassion.
Compassion.
Empathy.
Empathy.
And ethical action.
Ethical action. Yeah.
So Berkeley's philosophy isn't just.
It's not just an intellectual game.
Some abstract intellectual exercise.
It's about how we live.
It's a call to live more consciously.
More consciously, yeah.
More ethically minded.
More in tune.
With the divine presence.
To that divine presence.
That surrounds us.
That's a great way to put it.
It's a reminder
yeah.
that we're not isolated individuals.
We're not alone.
Adrift in a meaningless universe.
We're all part of something.
But participants.
Yeah, we're all in this together.
In a grand divine drama.
In this grand play.
And that our choices have the power to shape.
Our choices matter.
Not only our own destinies.
Not just our own little story.
But the destiny of the whole.
The destiny of everything.
Wow. That's a powerful thought to end on.
It is powerful.
We've certainly had a deep dive.
A real deep dive.
Into Berkeley's world today.
Into Berkeley's mind.
It's made me question a lot of assumptions mm-hmm. I had about reality and the nature of my own existence.
It's mind-blowing stuff.
It really is. Thanks for guiding us through this.
Of course.
Mind-bending exploration.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity.
We hope you learned something.
And if you're looking to explore these ideas further, we encourage you to check out Berkeley's treatise.
Definitely.
Concerning the principles of human knowledge.
It's a wild ride.
It is a wild ride.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep questioning, keep exploring.
Keep learning.
And keep seeking truth.
Keep seeking.
Wherever it may lead.
Wherever it takes you.
And remember, to be is to be perceived.
That's Berkeley, baby.